Krishna. We are reading this evening from the 13th chapter, text 26, very interesting verse about giving Krishna consciousness to others. Anyetvevam ajananta shrutvane pyaupasate te pichati tarantyeva mrityum shruti parayanaha. I've chanted again. Anyetvevam ajanata shrutvane pyaupasate tepi chati tarantyeva mrityum shruti parayanaha. Anyetvevam ajananta shrutvane pyaupasate tepi chati tarantyeva mrityum shruti parayanaha. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. So they don't know anything, but they hear from others about Krishna and then start to worship him. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Prabhupada explains, this verse is particularly applicable to modern society, because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age there is no need to change one's position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the Absolute Truth by speculative reasoning. You can stay where you are as long as you don't live in your own mental constructions about the Absolute Truth. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended. This is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as the so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine
Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Dana Vandeham Siguru Sijuta Padakamalam Sigurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaguna Raghunatam Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Shri Lalita Vangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Vade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tavda Ganjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavadu Sudhi Devi Padamami Hari Priye Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The Bhagavatam school has a particular school, a particular process of making advancement, and this is hearing. It's very interesting. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, this path of hearing is called Shrutekshita. Ikshita means to perceive with one's eyes, and Shrutekshita means to see through the eyes of hearing. If you can hear, in other words, from the proper person, you can perceive Krishna. Sometimes it is even said that by hearing you can smell Krishna. It's so direct, the process of being and hearing. There is a direct experience happening. Seeing and smelling is usually something which we attribute to eyes and the nose, and not to the ears. We don't see and we don't smell with the ears. But the Bhagavatam says, when you hear about Krishna, he becomes so real for you. He becomes just so present before you that it is as good as seeing him and smelling him. This is how the path of hearing is highlighted in the Bhagavatam. It means by doing this you can have a direct experience of Krishna. And the Puranas, they give a good example of this. Once there was a very demoniac person, this comes in one of the Puranas, who was engaged all day and all night in just sinful activities. So whenever devotees came by, he would give them a hard time, he would run after them, he would mock them, at times he would pull at their cloth, and he was just very, very disturbing. So the devotees in that particular town prayed for Narada Muni to appear, and when Narada Muni came, they said, "Can you do something to put this materialistic person who always makes fun of the devotees on the proper path of Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni went to this person and he wanted to tell him something about Krishna consciousness, but the person became so angry that he began to run after Narada Muni to give him a good lesson. So while Narada Muni was running away and fleeing from this person, he just turned around and said, when your time comes and you go to Yamaraj, then just ask him, what is the value of a moment's association with a devotee? Just this question, wrong, and then he ran away when the question was put to the end. So, like it is said, that time is like a snake who comes into our little world. Our little world is compared with a little mouse hole who lives under the earth. So the snake of time, the death, comes and will and eats every one of us, including this materialistic person. And he was brought before Yamaraj, and Yamaraj looked at the list of sins which he had committed, and he said, well, it doesn't look very good for you. The person said, before you condemn me, Yamaraj, there is a question which Narada Muni had asked me to put before you. What is the value of one moment of association with a devotee? Yamaraj heard this question and said, what is the value of a moment's association with a devotee? This is a very difficult question. Let's go to Lord Shiva and ask him. So Yamaraj and this materialistic person went to Lord Shiva and asked him, and Shiva said, what's the value of a moment of association with the devotee? I don't know. Let's go to Brahma. So by now, this materialistic person, Brahma, and Shiva went to Brahma. Brahma also said, I don't know, and if there is something I don't know, my habit is to go to Vishnu and ask him. He usually knows the answer. A little of Krishna. We will watch you, because anyways everyone watches you and the lecture is interrupted. Let us look what Agora Hari does now.
You must also send some blessings, because it doesn't go so well right now.
Krishna, Haribo. So now I don't need to shout so much. Thank you, Guru Hari. So Lord Brahma also didn't know the answer. What is the moment? What is the value of a moment's association with a devotee? He was dumbfounded and silent, and therefore he asked. He said, well, there's a question which I don't know. I go to Svetadvip. It is a place in this universe where Lord Vishnu resides. It's a spiritual place. And I asked him. So they all went, the materialistic person, Yamaraj, Shiva, Brahma, and arrived at the banks of the ocean of milk and looked towards the island of Svetadvip. And Brahma, again, like he had done many times, went into a deep meditation to call the Lord. And then the Lord rose across the island and came to the banks where his devotees were, Brahma and Shiva and Narada Muni were, not Narada Muni, Yamaraj were, and he said, the answer to your question is given. When you have a moment's association with a devotee, a real devotee, you will meet me. That is the answer. Now we might ask ourselves a question. All right, when I meet a devotee, a real devotee, I will eventually meet the Lord face to face. Well, how does this work? And the answer to this is very, very deep and very peculiar. It is given by Srila Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbhas towards the end, where he discusses how meeting real devotees is the cause of meeting Krishna. And he gives one verse from the 10th canto as his reason. There it is said, when an ordinary soul who goes from body to body in the cycle of birth and death meets comes to the end of his journey, his material imprisonment, then Krishna will arrange then that he meets a devotee of the Lord. And in that contact with a devotee, he will develop a matihi. Matihi means an inclination to serve Krishna and become what is called antarmukha. Most of us are bahirmukha, that means we look for our happiness and success in life outside of us. Antarmukha means to look inside, where the soul and the super soul reside in the core of the heart. So, but then both Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti look at this verse where it says, when a conditioned soul comes to the end of his material life, then he meets a devotee. And they say, grammatically, this is an Atishoka formulation. That means it must be turned around. And what this sentence then says is, when you meet a devotee, then immediately and eva means certainly, you will meet Krishna. Because when you are meeting a devotee and you really allow, you listen to a devotee and you look at the example of his life and let that influence your life, you will see that you develop an inclination, a desire, a tendency to go to Krishna. If you want to develop a stronger desire in your Krishna consciousness, if you feel that you are a little dry in your Krishna consciousness, when you feel a little bit too much attracted to the material world and you are worried, where will my life go if this continues, you must have an association with devotees. Because whenever devotees come together, then Krishna comes there. It is said, whenever there is a Bhagavatam reading where devotees come, at the back of the room, Radha and Krishna and the gopis and gopas are there. because Krishna cannot keep himself away from his devotees. He wants to be there where his devotees glorify him, and he comes present in innumerable forms where the real devotees are. He is attracted by their devotion, like a honeybee is attracted to the honey, the smell of the honey which comes from a honey glass. The bee must come. And so Krishna is present when devotees speak about him, and when someone listens, when people listen to the devotees, then they will feel in their heart that this matihi, this inclination, or this desire is born for them to serve Krishna. This is expressed here in this verse, which I want to read again for you. Anyetvevam ajananta shrutvane pyaupasate tepichati tarantyeva mrityum shruti parayanaha. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. No? They begin to worship. Why? Because now they have an inclination, an impetus in their heart to no longer be bahirmukha, outward facing, but to go in the other direction and look inside the heart for Krishna. Because of their tendency, these people have a tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Yeah. Yeah. My dear devotees, you all have now been given a commission. A commission means like an order, instruction. Hare Krishna, Kuvalishaya Vishvakarma. Welcome. This is a great pleasure to see you. Welcome. Hare Krishna, Sebastian. Willkommen. Feiert mit uns. So this matihi, or inclination, is maybe the most important thing which a person needs in order to start Krishna consciousness. And this inclination is really only coming in someone when he meets a devotee. Remember in your own life, my dear devotees, you were once also on the material path in your life, and when you met devotees, somehow your path and your ways changed, so that you are now following also the process of Krishna consciousness. In the middle, so in the beginning there needs to be a devotee sangha, in the middle there needs to be a devotee sangha to nourish you. You need to regularly hear and practice Krishna consciousness in the association with the devotees. And even at the end, you need devotee association. Even at the end. Because no one comes in the spiritual world if he is not invited by an associate of Krishna. It is described at the time when you leave this world and you are ready to go to Goloka Vrindavan, the associates of Radha and Krishna come and they take you and invite you. To this place, the transcendental world, you can only come by invitation. The invitation from devotees who are with Krishna at that time. Yeah? So, we hear in the advanced stages, this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the sadhaka or the practitioner should develop will hear about Krishna and his devotees, and he will feel an attraction. I want to serve Krishna like Kamala Manjari, or like Rupa Manjari, or like Subal Saka. I want to relate to Krishna like this, that I go through the forest of Vrindavan with Krishna, and I see some fruits, and I think, wow, these fruits would be so nice for Krishna to eat. So then I will pick it, I will eat it, and oh, it tastes so good. And I will say, Kanai, this fruit is suitable for your relishment. Please eat. And I will give him this fruit, and he will look at it. He will not mind that I have eaten from it. He will feel this has enhanced the attractiveness of the fruit, and he will eat it because he is controlled by the love of his devotees. He is attracted by the love and even controlled by the love of his devotees. So these devotees will form your examples, and you will pray to them, please help me, please give me your mercy, and then you will leave this world. We have this in the case of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When his time came to leave this world, he called for one of his disciples to sing the song Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, a song dedicated to one of the associates of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world, and prayed to her to please light up his life, and that he can go back home, back to Godhead. No? So you need devotees in the beginning. They will give you the mati, the inclination to serve Krishna. You need devotees in the middle of your journey. They will nourish you. They will tell you about Krishna. And you need devotees at the end of your journey. It's sadhu sangha, which remains of great importance throughout all the three phases of your journey back home, back to Godhead. Now, as I started to say, when devotees entered the room, we all happen to also be devotees. Somehow we have heard, although we were not conversant in spiritual knowledge, from others about Krishna, and we have also started to worship the Supreme Lord. And now we also should understand that we have a sacred obligation to help others to develop their mati, their inclination to come to Krishna. See, when you want to make advancement in spiritual life, it is not a good motive to want to make advancement in spiritual life. Let me be more clear. When you are just thinking about yourself and your own advancement, that is not sufficient in spiritual life. You must leave this, I want to be super advanced. You must switch to another concept where you feel, I want to be compassionate to others and help others. It's a very interesting. In the Bhagavatam, there are two very important places which come to mind. One is the instructions of Kapila Dev to Kadama Muni, and the second, the instructions of the associates of Lord Narayan to Dhruva. Let us go through the two examples to understand deeply how compassion is an integral part of our advancement. See, there came Kadama Muni briefly was meditating in the forest, but the Lord told him he should marry. And he arranged his marriage. The emperor of the world, Svayambhuva Manu, came by one day. As Kadama Muni was sitting in the forest, his face was effulgent, and he was deeply absorbed in samadhi, and he brought along with him his qualified daughter Devahuti. They married, and eventually Lord Kapiladev came as their son. Vishnu had told to Kadama Muni, I asked you to marry because I want to appear through this connection with Devahuti. So after Kapila Muni had been for some time in the household, Kadama Muni decided to leave the household and to become a wandering sannyasi, because the Lord had made this arrangement that we are only for some time in the household ashram, and then when we are reaching the end of our life, then we again free ourselves from all other relationships and just go into the relationship with Krishna. So Kadama Muni wanted to give an example, and he asked his enlightened son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for an instruction. How should I, what should I do when I now leave the house and go around the world? How should I conduct myself? And then Kapila said something very interesting to him. He said, you must be compassionate to others. The Lord, he said, is very satisfied to someone who greets all living entities with tolerance, mercifulness, kindness, and equality. He doesn't make any difference between this I like or this this person I don't like. He's equal to all. The Lord is very satisfied if his devotees greet all living entities with tolerance, with mercifulness, and with kindness and equality. No? So this was the instruction. This is how you can please the Lord. You have to be compassionate and merciful to others. Same thing is when Dhruva Maharaj was going back home, back to Godhead. At that time, the two associates of Vishnu, Nanda and Sunanda, who came with a Vimana, Vimana means like a transcendental airship, Lufthansa, huh? Who came with him, who came with this Vimana, they actually said to Dhruva Maharaj, if you want to go back home, back to Godhead, if you really want to do this, then you must learn one thing. You must learn to be compassionate to others. You cannot go when you are selfish. It's not possible. No entry for selfish people in the kingdom of God. They are sent back to the material world. No entry. Entry is only given. Visa is only given. The stamp in the visa for the spiritual world is only given into the passport of compassionate people. Not into the, not for people who are selfish and think, my advancement, I'm not advanced enough, I must get the mercy. No. And so on. My dear devotees and my dear friends, it took me a long, long time to understand this, because I had thought differently. But if you want to get blessings, then stop thinking of getting blessings. If you want to be happy, stop thinking about being happy. If you want to be successful, don't think of being successful. Think of arranging that others get the blessings. Think of arranging that others become happy. Think of making arrangements for others to become successful in the mission of their human form of life. This is a secret. This is a great secret. This movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very much in this line. And we are now only one more day separated from a day where we have been all looking forward to. It's the Yoga Expo. I know that all of you have important services in this effort, and I'm very, very grateful for all of you, and I request you to really go into this this event and also other events like Harinam in Munich. That's a very important project. Some devotees of the Munich temple want to do this, to sit in the when the winter is over on the streets and sing. This compassionate project is very important, to do something for the benefit of others. There is a secret. When you stop thinking about your own self, me, it's very boring, first of all, to think about that all the time. But when you stop about this and you think of others' benefit and helping others, Krishna takes care of your problems. If you forget about your solving your own problems, someone has to solve them. And the one who does it is Krishna. Because he feels pleased with you, with your sincere effort in Krishna consciousness to help others. Krishna is so much satisfied and so kind and so moved in some ways. I want to tell you a Prabhupada story which I just think makes this point very very good. There was in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was sitting always before his table, and one day one of his disciples came in, and Prabhupada said, "Do you see the ant?" So the devotee was all fixed on seeing Prabhupada, not an ant, and said, "No, where is the ant?" "Here." And the devotee looked on Prabhupada's table, and there was a little baby ant. You know, just very small, very insignificant. Then Prabhupada looked at the ant and asked, "What is your duty towards this ant?" What is your duty towards this ant? Imagine you would have been there. What is my duty towards the ant? You know. Then Prabhupada looked very penetratingly into the eyes of this devotee and says, "You must make this ant Krishna conscious. Then our movement is successful." I don't know if you would have imagined this. Hat unser deutscher Übersetzer das gesehen? Also, du musst diese Ameise Krishna bewusst machen, dann ist unsere Bewegung erfolgreich. Das ist der Erfolg der Hare Krishna Bewegung, die Ameise Krishna bewusst zu machen. We are smiling about this and we think, oh, how nice, how cute, how out of the clouds, you know, or so on. But this is a deep point. The point is, be compassionate. Quite long ago, I was with Radhanath Maharaj in Navadvip, in Shida Mayapur, and we had a few thousand of the devotees with us, and we came to a little forest with red ants. And I don't know if you know what is red ants. Oh, when you sit on the ground in India, they are available in India, you know. When you sit on the ground, the end is dressed like Ranga Devi, you know, totally red, you know, red end, you know, or like this maybe. And you sit and the ant just bites, and one bite you can tolerate. Two bites, you're already thinking of getting a ticket to Germany. And when you have three bites, you really think, this is enough, India is too much, I knew I'm just not qualified enough to live in India. You know, they are very heavy, these red ants. So I remember we were sitting on the ground, and then I asked him, why do we sit here? Why do we have to sit here? Wait, he said, all the devotees have to take place and sit. There were 2,000, we had to wait for 2,000 devotees. And then he explained, do you see this brick heap there? I looked at, there were some ruins, and it was the ruins of the old house of Vasudev Datta. Mm-hmm. Vasudev Datta is a great saint who prayed to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, there are countless living entities in this universe, and they all suffer from their karmic reactions. I beg you, please, let all of them go home, back to Godhead. And if you think they are too sinful, please transfer their karmic reactions onto my head. Imagine to ask that someone else's karma comes to you. I mean, this is... I think if you can ask that, please give me your mango, or please give me your cake, or give me your Krishna cookies. But to ask for the karma of someone else, you know, and I will suffer for this karma, is something. And when you ask for the combined karma of all the living entities in the universe, I mean, that's a lot. So Vasudev Datta is such a saint who did this because he had so much compassion. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he felt so extraordinarily pleased with Vasudev Datta that at another place in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, Vasudev Datta can do with me what he wants. I am his property. I belong to him. I have given myself into his hands. This is how the Lord feels with someone who has compassion. Whereas the Lord avoids those who are selfish in their heart, he comes running to sit in the heart of the compassionate devotees. He comes running and he stays there. Forever and ever and evermore. This is, I think this is something very, very, very necessary in order to progress in Krishna consciousness. So then he said, I think we can sit a little bit in the forest, he said, and just get a few bites from the red ants. That's not as bad as the karma of millions of people. And then I remembered a particular story which had touched my heart many years ago about compassion. It comes actually from a Buddhistic background, but it is really making a very, very good point. It's about a sadhu, or a monk, who went into the mountains to meditate, but I think after 6 years of staying up in the Himalayas to reach perfection for himself, he still felt unsuccessful, and he said, well, let me go back to my village, I don't make it. So this monk came down from the Himalayas. He wanted to return to his village. But on his way, he saw a poor man, yes, a poor man who had something like this, a piece of cloth, and he was rubbing it over an iron stick, like I do now. And the man asked him, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm trying to sew through this iron stick. I'm trying to cut through it." "Oh," said the man, "this will be a long effort. It will take a long time." "I don't mind." This monk thought, if he is so patient and doesn't give up, then I should be a little bit patient in my mantra chanting. And he went back to the Himalayas and practiced again his mantra chanting. After another 6 years, he still felt dry in his heart, and he thought, let me have my material life now and give in to my many material desires. So again he went down the mountains, wanting to go back home to his village. Now on the way, he saw that there was a little mouse before her mouse hole. The mouse hole was closed by a rock which had fallen down. This little mouse was there with its little teeth gnawing, knuspern, sagt man in Deutschland, knabbern, at the mountain. And again the man said, "My God, is she patient? This will take her 12 years, you know. This is a project, a long project. Let me also go back and be a little bit more patient with enlightenment." So he again tried, but it didn't work out. He was distracted and full of material desires. So again he went down. This time he went to his village. He arrived towards the evening when everyone was in their houses preparing for the night, and he thought, "Let me just see the village," and he went over the village street until he saw a dog on the road. The dog was very, very wretched. He had big wounds all over his body, pus coming from his eyes, and there was an open wound here and an open wound here, which was full of maggots, it's called. It's these vermer, these worms. And the man said, when he looked at the dog, something moved in his heart, and he thought, "I should take care of this dog." So he went to the river, he brought a bowl of water, and he put it to the dog, in front of the dog, who greedily drank it. The man thought, "Let me again go." He again brought more water. Again the thirsty dog, who was in the process of dying, drank the whole water. Again he went, this monk from the Himalayas, "I must save this dog." But when he returned, there was no longer this wounded dog. There was a great, personality standing who said, "Now you can practice. Now you can start your practice. Now your heart is no longer selfish. You have learned the lesson which everyone needs to learn to make advancement, that is to be compassionate towards others." I think this is so important. And if you look at the statements of Kapila Muni to Kardama, where he says the Lord is personally satisfied when his devotees greet others with tolerance and mercifulness. And when you look at the statements of the Vishnu Dutas toward Dhruva Maharaj, where they say only a compassionate person can go back to the self-effulgent spiritual world, it's clear, you know what you need to know. You have to learn to be compassionate. And if you want to enter the school of compassion, there is a first class, a second class, and a third class. Do you know? Want to know the first class? And the what is it, the schedule, or is it the curriculum? Curriculum, Lernstoff, in the first class. First is, you must know, I'm a living entity, and I experience joy and sadness, and so is another person who experiences also joy and sadness. We are equal in this. We experience. What is your good name? Subramanian. Subramanian ji is a living entity. He is joyful when he is in good association, and he is sad when he is separated from good association. I am like Subramanian ji. I also become joyful in good association and sad when there is exploitive people around me who are not my well-wishers, and so on. So this is the first step if you want to learn compassion. You have to understand the situation of others. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's first point. In our Western language, we call that empathy. Empathy is different from sympathy. Sympathy would be, I like Subramanian. He is in the temple, like me. No, he's in the temple, I like. He has a very good face, and I feel very great sympathy. Empathy means, I must go into his situation and understand his life from his perspective. His joys, his sadness, his maybe problems, and then be willing to help. Huh? Then the next thing is, after seeing the equality, is you must see where you can help, an area where you can help. And the third class is, you must make an arrangement to help others. I think this temple is a wonderful arrangement to help others, because, you know, there's everything, deities and prasadam, good association. So we can support this temple and support the spiritual growth of others. Or when we do a program like the Yoga Expo, or like Harinam, or all the different programs which we can do, it's a practical forum to help others. It's not just enough to think, I want to be compassionate. You must make a practical forum in your life where you can be compassionate and do a compassionate action. It's just like, it's not enough if you think, I want to help sick people. You must build a hospital or some facility for them to get their wounds diagnosed and medication given to them, some situation. So it's not enough to just think, okay, compassionate is a good quality. We heard this in the Bhagavad Gita class. No, you must make now an arrangement where you must open a forum in your life where you can do a compassionate work. I have a great request to you. All of you, as you leave the temple, you should think, what can I practically do to do some compassionate work? Because, you know, we live in a society which is just so selfish, so brutish, so exploitative, that that there is never an opportunity. compassionate work means, for instance, you go cook some halava and go out in the streets and distribute halava. You look at me. This is revolutionary. we speak very practically, Prabhupada. This compassionate thing is not something dreamy. Something philosophical. I have given some background from the Shastras. And the greatest compassion is really if we can do something to awaken the inclination, the mati of the conditioned soul to again serve Krishna. Because, do you know what Prabhupada once said? He said, everyone comes to me and says, Prabhupada, there are so many problems. There is not so many problems. There's only one problem. We will make a pause so that our Chaitanya Rasa can type this into his Apple computer. you were typing something else, some Yoga Expo related information. I have full understanding, Chaitanya Rasa. I have full understanding. No. Good. So here's something for you to type. There are no problems. Prabhupada said there's only one problem, how to accept Krishna. Every one of us has this problem. Will I accept Krishna? Accepting Krishna means he's the infinite master of my life and I'm a small servant. This is our problem. When we have gotten this, it's called the mati, this inclination, yes, I accept Krishna, I serve him with my life, our problems disappear. Then you don't even think success or failure, because it's up to Krishna. You just do your best, what you can do. But you have accepted Krishna, and your heart is full of love for him, and then ho gya, everything is done. That we have to work on, this matihi, this sincere acceptance of Krishna in our heart. That is the solution to everything. Now I have said this, I don't want to speak very long today. I will just see if you have a few questions and then end the program so that I'm not overly long. I'm very proud of myself. It's only 3 minutes past eight. This is a record. Any questions you have, please ask Gaura Hari. Prabhupada has said something on this. I'm very happy. The question is, how can we give others this inclination to serve Krishna? You must talk to them according to your realization. Not what you have not realized, but what you have realized. And that, what is living in your heart as a realization, that will go into the hearts of others. See, to bring Krishna consciousness into others or to bring it to others is not an intellectual activity. An example has been given of childbirth. You know, the, to To conceive a child is not an intellectual activity. It is a healthy man and a fertile woman come together, and then what is in the man goes into the woman and combines, and then a child comes out. So in much the same way, Krishna consciousness is like a process. What is inside of you, it has to go to the people. You have to be a good devotee to make others devotees. At the last evening in Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see one more time all the devotees and residents of Navadvip. He knew the next morning he would take sannyas and swim over the Ganga and leave Navadvip for good. So on that evening, by the Lord's mystical potency, all the devotees arrived at the banks of the Ganga, and a wonderful scene took place. It is said that not only Lord Chaitanya's devotees came, but all the people, even those who had laughed about Gauranga's Sankirtan parties before, arrived on that evening. As the moon was slowly rising over the Ganga, a very peaceful atmosphere in Mayapur, the waves were just a little slightly moving in the wind, making a soft sound as they came to the banks of the Ganga. No? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat there and he looked so beautiful with his long hairs and his large lotus eyes, which were always wet from the tears of love of God which he had. They all came and everyone brought a garland for Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Like Lode, our devotees have given a garland. So they all gave it around Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But Gauranga gave the garlands, you know, there were many garlands were coming, to each one of the people who had come. Everyone was garlanded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, together with the garland, he gave them an order. He said, chant Krishna's name, talk of nothing else than Krishna, and always remember Krishna in your mind. This will please me. This is what Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the Doyal Gauranga, the merciful Gauranga said. He gave that order to everyone. And there, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes a beautiful, beautiful purport. He said in his purport that every devotee of Gauranga Mahaprabhu should consider himself to be garlanded by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We all have the garland of Gauranga around our head, which is nothing else than the sacred order, chant, remember Krishna, and talk of nothing else than Krishna. And if you do that, then you will give the garland of Gauranga all over the world. Chant, think of Krishna, and talk about Krishna. And then you will distribute the garlands to everyone. So, I've always seen, for instance, when I'm in the airport, I have to tell you something. We went to Vrindavan once. I remember this. I think you were there, and our other devotees from our Gaura Bhavan were there, and we went. We always go by Turkish Airlines over Istanbul. I'm not making advertisement here for Turkish Airlines, by the way. Not they are all right, but it's not my point to speak about Turkish Airlines. So we somehow it's cheap and they have nice olive oil. So on the way to from Istanbul to Delhi, devotees met. There was a girl, and I told we had nice Matajis with us, and I told the Matajis, why don't you take care of the girl? She's maybe going the first time to India. She should eat some prasadam and hear something about Krishna. And then the Matajis talked about Krishna consciousness. And this year in Govardhana retreat, she came to me and said, you told the devotees who were with you to talk to me and give me prasadam. Now I'm a devotee. I always meet this everywhere where I go. If devotees just talk about according to the realization, not something artificial, but I'm going to India and I have heard that there are temples of Radha Syam Sundar and I've seen pictures and the turban is so beautiful, and you know, whatever is in your heart, that you talk, and that leaves so much of an impression with people, because they all look for this certitude, this certitude. Huh? Preaching is not so difficult if you want to bring people an mati, an inclination. You just have to talk about what enthuses you, what you like. Don't talk theoretically, talk practically. See, there is a difference. There are two agents through which we become Krishna consciously informed. The sadhu and the shastras. Now the shastras are passive. You have to pick them up. You have to, what is the point here? Oh my God, I'm so dull. Oh, chief of the Bharatas, who's that? Know that whatever you see in existence, oh, is it philosophical? Know that whatever you see in existence, okay, both the moving and the non-moving, I got it, is only a combination of the field of activities and the know of the field. My God, I'm a simple man, you know, I'm a simple woman, and you know, they talk. The Shastra talks, but quite passively. But a sadhu will say like this, can't you understand this? You know, he will really go. There are moving living entities and there are non-moving living entities. Where are you? Are you moving or not moving? I'm moving. All right. Now, you should know this one thing. You are inside your body, and the body is something which is like a field of your activities. And you must know that everything which is in this existence is just the knower of the field and the field. And as long as we totally identify with our fields of activities, we are captured. Imagine a farmer who thinks I'm the field. And you think like, okay, this I can understand. All of a sudden, I wanted to show you, shastras are passive. But a sadhu will get to you and explain the concepts, and he will be not passive, he will teach actively, no? And that gets to us. But it's important for the sadhu to know that he has to talk according to his realization. Then it has strength. Otherwise, it doesn't have so much strength. There are two types of preaching, Gaurahari. One is informative preaching, and here you can repeat what you have learned. You can give the information which you have heard. And then there is transformative preaching, and that is when you talk about the things you have realized. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Yes, your good name? Rishikesh, and then Kuvaleshaya, Vishvakama. Yes, this is the longest name in existence. Kuvaleshaya Vishvakama. Yes, Hare Krishna, Rishikesh. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is said that by a moment's association we get Krishna, but we see people that who had such a moment of association but remain indifferent to Krishna consciousness. Jiva Goswami says that is because people are still committing aparads. That is, they are maybe blaspheming the devotees, they close their ears and hearts to the devotees. But still, he says, if a devotee makes the decision that he doesn't take this apparat seriously, he gives them a chance. The example he gives is Manigriva and Nalakuvera, who were enjoying sexual activities in the Ganga and were met by Narada Muni. And Narada Muni gave them a curse. He said, for your sinful activities right in this holiest of rivers, you will be born as naked trees. Oh. So they were shocked and they thought about everything and then asked for forgiveness. And Narada Muni said, I cannot take back the curse, but I will bless you that yes, you will be born as trees in the court of Nanda Maharaj, and you will grow and grow for many years, but then Krishna will come and appear, and he will liberate you from your curse. And we all know that when Krishna was appearing, there was this Damodar Leela, and during the Damodar Leela, Krishna, who was bound to a mortar, brought the mortar in between the two Arjuna trees and pulled at the Arjuna trees and then brought them to fall. And they saw Krishna. Arjuna trees are still available in Mauritius, I have heard. Maybe Daya Gauranga can find out when he goes there with this and make a photo of them and show them to us. I've never seen Arjuna trees, but I heard they are very strong trees with deep, deep roots. And they are available in Mauritius still. Mm. Krishna, Narada Muni blessed them to meet Krishna. He didn't consider their offenses as a long, long, long lasting disqualification. But still, their meeting Krishna was delayed. They had to wait for thousands of years. They were really... These Arjuna trees, I heard they were like the Californian redwood trees, really like really ancient trees. So yes, when we commit offenses and we are hurtful towards devotees, and I think that is a great, great reason. We don't open our hearts to the devotees. People may even make jokes. They call them a dangerous sect. Here in Germany, we have in the past, sometimes this was, now it's better, now it's all right. We accepted a religion, but it was a long struggle to come to that level. There were so many offenses against the devotees. Oh, the newspapers were writing things. You know, I could not tolerate this. Devotees had asked me if I could be a press relation man, or what is a public relation man. But I said, no, I can't read these newspapers. It just totally agitates me to see how offensive the public reacts towards the devotees. And by this offenses, they become bereft of the benefit. That's the reason. Hrishikesh Prabhu. That is the name your father gave you? Wonderful. Hrishikesh. Guva Lishaya Vishwakarma. You have just come from America? Or just now?
Just off the plane.
Off the plane. Good. Good, yes, Kuvali Shayama.
Well, this answer to his question relieves some of the pressure from my heart, being someone who has been raised in the association of devotees, but never truly valuing that association, and now being a recipient of mercy. I find when I share, I'm always resistant to preaching to people.
Mm-hmm.
But now my attempt has been to, as you recommended, to share from my realization.
Mm-hmm.
Starting out from a selfish position, all of my realizations all are in relationship to what is the mercy I've received or something, and I feel stuck in not being like that it's still about me.
Mm-hmm.
The compassion that you're describing is not available to me.
Mm-hmm. How can you access this wonderful feeling? Well, it really starts in noticing that others are suffering. This is really where it starts. You look at others and you see, my God, are they suffering? And then such a feeling comes to you. I remember at the end of this year's Kartik, there was this cold rain in Vrindavan, and the monkeys who had lived with me at Govindakund were really suffering, and in the night they went, poof, poof, you know, they were sneezing, and I was really noticing they were really suffering. It was too cold, and I was in my warm minus 34 degrees sleeping bag, you know, and they were in the trees, you know, and they just, and sometimes, whoop, whoop, you know, they cried. It was really, and you came, and they were somehow trying to go under the roofs, and there were not enough places. They were stopping even to quarrel with each other and with us. They were just so miserable. And I felt in my heart, I mean, this is really a monkey life. I mean, it's really, oh, I'm very sorry for these monkeys, you know. I just did this. I looked at them and I could understand it must be suffering. And where will they go, you know? It's India. There's no... India is India, you know. And so I do remember when I was sleeping, some monkeys had somehow gone through the monkey grills, and usually I would chase them away. But this time in the night, I just didn't want to chase them away because I felt so much compassion. If I would chase them in the cold darkness where there is cold rain, no, not me. They can sleep with me in my room if they behave, you know. Then I did. Then he slept before, but then the next morning there was this. You know, they don't know where to go to the toilet, and where not. You know. Yeah, Krishna. Monkeys are monkeys. I guess they have to. You have to have wise compassion for monkeys. You know, keep them still a little bit in the distance. You know. So, but if answering your question, look at others, you know, and see there's some real suffering, some real anxiety. And there is no Krishna for them. I mean, they can't, there is Krishna for them, but they can't think of Krishna. That's the only way to get become free from anxieties. That's in the blessings of hearing the Bhagavatam. It says, when you hear the Bhagavatam regularly, then shoka moha bhayapaha, illusion goes away. Shoka moha and shoka, no, lamentation, illusion, and fear goes away. But they don't have this. They don't have the Bhagavatam, and they don't have Krishna. So there is some real misery. I remember one devotee told me how Prabhupada had just ended an evening program in Sydney, and he was being driven back to the temple and crossed King's. There is a, apparently in Sydney there is a place called King's Cross or something like this. It's like where the nightlife takes place. And Prabhupada was, Philippe! Dobro došli, come in. Welcome. You're giving joy to our hearts. He's our photographer, that we have some good photos from the Yoga Expo with enough people on it. Yeah. Hare Krishna. So yes, so you have to, this is the first step. See, they are living entities like you, and they just don't have this help, you know. Imagine Kurvalishaya a life where you have no Bhagavatam, no chanting for the next 30 years, no Hare Krishna for you. You know, it was a miserable, you know. What? No. No, 30 years not allowed to chant. When you chant, your head will split in 50 pieces, you know. That is terrible. After 5 years, you would say, I don't care, I will chant now, you know. Although you might not have been the greatest chanter before, but now you know. You know, we have closed our eyes and our hearts when we see the misery of others, because we are so much involved with our Luxus misery, you know, which is not really so miserable in comparison. Don't close your eyes. Don't look the other way when someone suffers. Help. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once went with his disciples on a pilgrimage, and they were all passing by beggars, and no one gave a rupee to them. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stopped the pilgrimage and he said, you all go now to the beggars and help them. If the Vaishnava should feel like this. Or like when Prabhupada said, what is your duty towards this end? Hare Krishna. Good Kuvalashaya, Vishvakama. And Radha Damodar will ask the last question, and then we are relieved from this lecture. Yes.
You talked about that we should see that people are suffering and we should have compassion to them. And with compassion, when we try to explain a person that you are suffering, like people who have very good pious karma, he's telling me, no, everything is nice in the world. I don't see that any problem is there. Something like that. Because of pious karma, his material life is very good. And because of this, he does not understand that he is really suffering.
I used to say the same thing when the devotees told me you're suffering. I thought, really? I'm really fine, you know. It's not, I'm not like you, or, you know. I have a good parental house. I have sufficient money. I have friends. I'm all right, you know, I'm healthy, and I just couldn't see the point. I just couldn't see the point. I mean, I tried. I was not arrogant, you know. It was not an arrogant. What you say makes so much point, but not makes so much sense, but not this point that I'm suffering. It just doesn't relate to me. And I left the point, and so on. It's a fact. People cannot see. A dreamer cannot see that he dreams. It's not possible. So I wouldn't speak so much about it. Just be kind to people, give them prasadam, and not I'm giving this to you because you are suffering like a dog, you know. Because every bite which you take is mouthful of bad karma, you know, and so on. No. Don't mention this. Krishna, how do you feel? And maybe in 2 days we have 15,000 guests. Nicht 50, 15, aber vielleicht auch 50, oder? Mal sehen. Ja. Du wärst inspiriert da hinten. Ja. 50, nein, 15. Ja. Gut, dann würde ich sagen, let us end here. Alles Gute. I wish you all the best. I don't know if we will have another chance to meet. Most probably we have. Meet means I will be at the Yoga Expo. But I think we will have another opportunity to be in the temple. I know that tomorrow Gaurahari gives a lecture. Is that... That is sure that could be arranged. Yes, so tomorrow is Gaurahari, yes, that will be after the Yoga Expo. I think on Monday I'm still here. So watch the news, and then we will see Krishna conscious news. I wanted to say it's not yet in the avant news. You know, we are hoping one day that one day Hare Krishna. Good, Srila Prabhupada. Hey, when you go now home, don't forget all about the lecture. The point was you need to do a compassionate work. And what is it that you can do, you know, to help others? Maybe start at home with your, you know, the people who are next to you, the friends. What can you do to help them? How can you bring Krishna consciousness towards them? Talk about Krishna. That was Mahaprabhu's instruction. First you need to think about Krishna, talk about Krishna, no? And do something to elevate their consciousness so that you can increase the inclination of others to serve Krishna. Huh? Don't forget, lectures are not just that we sit there and don't think for 1 hour, and then when we go home, we have forgotten everything. No, it's very important. This is for our education, spiritual education, and so. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.